For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No one left. Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of strength. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to episode 284 of Fourth and John. I am Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Mal in the building. Today we are talking the running back position. If you've been following our position breakdowns, we originally did the quarterback position. If you want to go see that, you can check that out. But today, talking about the running backs position breakdown, let's talk about this running back group. You know, Miles Sanders leads the way here. We're going to talk about briefly. You know, Miles Sanders, the expectations are very high. We have the role players in Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell, Huntley, you know, coming into the mix. And then, you got Kennedy Brooks as well, undrafted free agent running back out of Oklahoma. So we start with Miles Sanders. I mean, but first of all, before I get into Miles Sanders, you guys have anything you want to say just overall about the running back position?
I mean, generally the past few years, we've been heading into the season, I feel like, with a running back by committee type of mentality. And I'm going to be honest with you, judging by the fact that we haven't really changed the running back room up at all, I think we're going to continue to see more of that. I think we're going to have a healthy mix of the top three guys, that being Sanders, Gainwell, and Scott. But other than that, I think I don't think there's going to be a true, you know, head and shoulders running back with better stats than the others this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that that's pretty much running back by committee, unless you have like a Travis Henry or, you know what I mean? You got like a Travis Henry, you got a King Henry, got a Zeke, and even Zeke was getting his workload ate into, right? So like running back by committee is the way to go. I like the fact that Scott, Gainwell, and Sanders all do things a little bit differently, right? That like Scott is kind of the mix between Gainwell and Sanders. Sanders could get between tackles. Gainwell should be able to eat out of the backfield in regards to receptions. So it gives you a different taste, but all of them can run, right? So it's not like you're necessarily telegraphing what you want to run as far as plays. Excited about it. You know, Gail earlier was mentioning that Hurts is going to eat into running back production no matter what. I think that in an ideal world, we see less running from Jalen Hurts and more productivity from our running backs. But when you have running backs last year that really weren't necessarily doing what we needed them to do, puts more onus on Jalen Hurts to make that production happen. So, yeah, I'm excited about the running back group, man. Kennedy Brooks is somebody I actually, like, sneakily enough, I think if not this year, certainly next year, can make a push to be on the active game day roster.
As you talk about the running back group, you know, or the running back position, or maybe or tuck the running game, you know, leading the league and rushing 159 yards per game. I mean, that was exciting. There was a time where Eagles fans and the fan base was highly upset with the coach about running the ball. We gear it up right towards the midseason, and it was just it was enjoyable to watch. You talk about Jalen Hurts, his first season, full season as the starter of the squad. You got to give him a running game. That's really what we wanted. So at the end of the day, let's talk about the running back position and Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders, it's weird. There's support for Miles Sanders out there. I think I'm supporting Miles Sanders, you know, coming in at 5'11", 211 pounds, age 25. This is fourth year in the league, going into his fourth year. Miles Sanders is a guy who's got the home run hitting ability. He's a guy that has broken off some major runs over the last couple of years. We know he's got that juice. What you want from him is to be consistent and stay healthy. I mean, obviously, is he getting the amount of touches that the rest of the running backs out here are getting these days?
I'm just trying to fix my light right now. I don't think that Miles Sanders, to answer your question, no. Miles Sanders isn't getting fed the ball enough right now, just like my light isn't getting fed enough electricity. You know, it's a crazy thing how we have a guy like Miles Sanders who, if you just look at his yards per carry on paper, you're like, this guy should be one of the top running backs in the league. But he doesn't get fed the ball like he is, and he doesn't end up in the end zone like that. And I think a big part of that, obviously, is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts had, you know, an abundance of rushing touchdowns last year, and he was able to capitalize on being in the red zone. And, you know, when wide receivers are out there pulling defensive backs out into coverage, he was able to find those holes and end up in the end zone himself. So I think that's why his Miles Sanders production has really struggled.
I think also availability, right? Like, the best ability is availability. Was that 2 years in a row, past two seasons?
Played 12 games, though.
12 games. But we're talking 16, 17-game seasons. And so when you only contribute in for 12 games, that's not going to necessarily get you to where you're looking to get. And also, he plays nicked up, right? Like, it wasn't just the times that he sat, like, in-game injuries, times he'll come out the game, come back in. And so there are definitely components to it. I would love to see Miles Sanders get used more as a receiver like he was his rookie year. But he had, I think, 50 catches his rookie year for 509 yards and another 3 touchdowns. And so really being able to use him as, like, the multifaceted back that he is, I think, is in the best interest of the Eagles just in general. Miles Sanders was never really like the between the tackles punisher. And so I don't know that he'll ever evolve into that role. I don't think that that's the role that he's best suited for. But yeah, man, I like Miles Sanders. I don't know what you do with him, because I think the biggest question, you know, is do you resign him after this year? Right. And like, what does that money look like? Because putting money long-term into running backs is usually not a wise investment, especially if you like resetting the market to pay them.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, overall, I'm like, it's either put up or shut up. I mean, he's going to have a phenomenal year for the Eagles to actually want to pay up the money. Yeah. But shout out to Prime in the building. We're right on Miles Sanders. How are you feeling about Miles Sanders?
You know, I'm a Miles Sanders fan, opposite of what that guy up there feels about him.
I feel like that was directed at me.
Nah, I'm looking forward to what he's bringing to the table this year. I mean, got to catch up with him at the Autism Challenge. His attitude seemed like, you know, he was all there. He's definitely asking for, you know, the coaching staff to have a little bit more faith in him. And, you know, at the end of the day, he knows that it falls in their hands to make that decision. Me as a fan, I'm big on Miles. Disappointing year last year. I mean, he did his thing, but, you know, the touchdowns, the stats didn't really show that. So I think, you know, he's definitely got a lot to prove to himself and to the fan base this upcoming year. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got. You know, I definitely am not one to close the door on him. You know, on top of that, I gave him a spot on the wall, so he's got to come through, you know what I mean, for that reason as well. So I'm all in for to see what Miles is all about this year.
Yeah. I mean, do we think that the fan base is pretty tough on Miles Sanders? A portion of the fan base.
They definitely are.
I think it's justified though, bro, right? That you know, we had, when we took him in the second round, he came in high hopes, high expectations. He hasn't broken 1,000 yards rushing. He's broken 1,000 yards in total yards of offense. But then to have no touchdowns last year, I think was sort of the icing on the cake for some folks, right? That like, you have this expectation of running backs to be able to do very specific things. I think we watched Miles Sanders struggle last year to kind of do some of those things for the Eagles consistently. but we always hard on players, right? Like, who are we not hard on? We hard on each other as fans. So, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, players have expectations too. And I hope that his expectations far exceed what we think of him. Because in the end of the day, man, you got to believe that you're that guy. And I wonder, does he believe it that he's that guy?
Yeah, I think it was just an unfortunate set of circumstances. I don't think that Miles Sanders is incapable of being a top 15 running back in this league. I think he has all the skills to be there. I think last year, like I said, how Jalen Hurts just took a lot of those red zone touchdowns that really ate into his stats. But like, you know, when the season's all said and done, a lot of what people do, majority of what the fan base does is they go back and just look at what the stats were for the year. And then when you do that, you don't see the story that gets painted behind that and why those stats are the way that they are. But, you know, if you look at Miles Sanders' stats, he's sitting there with less touchdowns than Jalen Reagor last year. So fans rightfully are upset.
I mean, if you look at his scoring here, I mean, you talk about you know, 38 points his rookie year, 40 points his second year, last year 2 points. That's got to sting as a running back. I know it just is what it is, but I found some stats where you can compare running backs, and just to get a little spectrum, we have Aaron Jones versus Miles Sanders. Any of these stats stand out to you right off the bat?
They've been, and I should know the answer to this, they've been in a league the same amount of time. So this is like an apples to apples comparison.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Aaron Jones has played 29 more games than Miles Sanders is bananas. That jumps out to me.
look at the rushing touchdowns right there, 41.
Yeah. But Aaron Jones also was relied upon very differently in that Green Bay offense than, you know, how we use Miles Sanders.
Yeah, look at how much more effectively Aaron Jones gets into the end zone though, too. Yeah. I mean, you can say, you know, he had twice as many rushing attempts, but I mean, if that were the case, then Miles Sanders should be ballparking around 18 touchdowns. I just think that He's the dude knows how to get into the end zone. And obviously when you are playing with Aaron Rodgers, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, he's going to take some pressure off.
And Devontae, right? And like, again, just the way they use Aaron Jones is just very different than how we use Miles Sanders. That like, they're not even showing the like receptions component here. Aaron Jones, he does it all. Which Miles Sanders can too, is just like the offense doesn't ask the same things of him.
Yeah, it's a different type of game, you know, game style of game, especially with Green Bay and us. But no excuses. At the end of the day, they both came into the league at the same time. You see the stats right there. We know Miles is capable of breaking for a good run. We know Miles is capable of getting in the end zone. But the key thing was Miles just can't stay healthy. That's always on the back of our minds. These past couple of years, that's what's been on the back of my mind. Right there, that's the comparison that, you know, you got to think about. Aaron Jones, Miles Sanders, this man stays healthy. So, I mean, if he's healthy, he's around every week, they're going to go ahead and rely on him. With Miles, they're going to, you know, definitely fall back a little bit on the attempts because they're scared he's going to get hurt. Then we can't afford to go have him go hurt for a few weeks, rest of the season, that type of stuff. So that's definitely, you know, something that plays the mindset with the coaching staff. Do I go ahead and take this chance or do I go ahead, you know, I mean, here, you know, this guy's here every week, healthy and all that stuff. Let's go. Let's run it.
For what it's worth, though, I mean, like we talk about how they have different, both teams expect different styles of running from their respective running backs. I like the way that Green Bay runs the ball a lot better than us. Just point blank, period. It doesn't even have to be Aaron Jones. Like you think back across Aaron Rodgers' entire career, he's always had a solid dude in the background. It's always a big body dude that is able to just knock people the hell over. And that's,
if you think about that, though, Eddie Lacy back in the day.
Think about that, that offense, that passing attack can always keep the safeties back. So you can't, you know, you're not really trying to bring guys in the box when you have guys like Devontae Smith and, you know,
That's a great
Devontae
formula.
Adams.
You know what you
mean. Yeah.
I mean, you have an elite quarterback, and that forces, you know, everybody out of the box, and then you get a big body running back. You can run people the hell over.
Yeah, and I just hope he takes
AJ Dillon's the next one.
He takes this you know, this season to propel his game. Like the whole idea of him being doubted, that's cool, because like when he comes in, he's pissed off and he's angry. That's you know, if that makes him play better, or if he feels like he has to show and prove, hey man, just show it on the field and like Kelsey says, change the narrative.
I honestly feel like he doesn't have a choice, man. I mean, this is like his do or die season, because you know, the way the game style has been played for the past few years, teams tend to have a tendency of forgetting about running backs, man. You know,
absolutely. So,
you know, at the end of the day, he could be forgotten about throughout the whole league if they see that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think he definitely has a lot to prove. So, I think his mentality, his mindset coming in this year, is going to be serious.
And what William said right here, I definitely agree with, because if you watch Sanders on tape, you see a lot of dancing between the tackles, right? That like he's a lot of times trying to use his speed to stretch plays outside when your interior offensive line are like eating folks up, right? So like the hole is there and he's just not hitting it. And so like that's another one of those places where you have to take a significant step forward, especially now in year two of the same offense, of like, are you taking advantage? Like people say, you gotta get what's blocked, right? And then add on top of that, if you're not getting what's blocked, you can't be out there. Boston Scott is gonna get what's blocked, right? Kenneth Gainwell is gonna get what's blocked. And so, you know, are you a detriment at that point because you're trying to do too much because you know that you're a superior athlete? And so, I just want to see Miles Sanders stick to the system, get what's blocked, follow those blockers, and make plays, man, because he's fully capable as a starting running back.
Mm-hmm. When you know you got that kind of juice, like sometimes you try to hit the home run as a running back.
Of course.
Again, it's different, you know, it's the NFL, and like the nickel and dime stuff is not bad either. And that's where you, Jordan Howard sneaks his little big old head coming, hey, this is what I do. And I think that's what this offense is looking for, that guy who's going to get the nickel and dimes.
Kennedy Brooks.
Push the pocket. Yeah. But moving right along, I mean, you know, we could either, I mean, in the heart of hearts, we'll go around the room. Who is yours? We'll start with this guy after we figure out who is RB2 right now in your hearts.
In my heart? Are you asking about in my heart or my brain?
We got
that's two different answers.
we got four people, so it could either go break even or it could sway one direction.
Dude, I mean, there's something about both Boston Scott and Greg Ward, man, when they came onto this team, the time that they did. And they were guys that people, I want to say, kind of counted off. I mean, that was a season that was rough, dude. That was obviously the end of the Carson Wentz era, the beginning of the end of the Carson Wentz era. And, you know, we had guys that showed up that were, you know, that ended up being unsung heroes. And how Boston Scott continually, year after year, just dominates the New York Giants.
The Giants.
How can I not give my man his flowers, bro?
Yeah. Yeah.
Boston Scott. Okay. Yeah. All right. Prime. Who you got,
Prime? I gotta go with Evan, man. Boston Scott definitely got my, you know, my attention last year. He definitely got my respect. You know, besides him being the giant killer, man, that dude's hungry every play. Like he goes 110, not 100, 110. He hits that hole. He hits it hard. You know, he's hungry. He's hungry to stay in the NFL. He's hungry for a starting job. He's hungry for a contract. You know, he's hungry to put food on that table. Like, he's hungry, man. And you can tell that's his mentality every single play. You know, I wouldn't even be surprised if Boston's in that huddle telling them, give me the ball. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Every single play. Because you could just see, like, he's just that guy that wants that play every time. So, watching him in Washington, watching him in the Jets game, like, watching him do his thing. Like, I love the kid. The kid is, you know, his energy. He gives the fan base energy, so I love his play, man. I think you know, he's definitely RB2, and you know, Miles, look, you know, last week we were talking about you want that person behind you to come with that energy and bring the best out of you. Boston is going to be that dude that's going to bring the best out of Miles. Like, you know, don't be surprised he comes in the morning and be like, yo, I'm coming for your spot. You know what I mean? That's the mentality I see out of Boston.
Interesting.
I just want to throw it out here. The fact that Boston Scott has 13 rushing touchdowns on 228 total career carries. So, like, we talk about how, you know, Hurts was eaten into – Hurst was eating into the production of the running backs. Boston Scott had 7 rushing touchdowns last year. So, you know, I like Boston Scott. I'm going to go with Kenneth Gainwell, though, for me. I think that Gainwell adds juice into this offense that Boston Scott doesn't necessarily. And Kenneth Gainwell is probably the best route runner that we have as a running back. I really want to see him be able to get more opportunities out of the backfield. I would love to see a split backfield with Gainwell and Scott or Gainwell and Sanders, whoever it may be. But I think Gainwell is somebody that's going to have a really a surprisingly good year this year. That's going to set him up to be the RB moving forward as like a 1B with like a bigger back that could take on some of that between the tackles work. But he could run between tackles too, right? They're like, you know, I'm excited about what Kenneth Gainwell brings to this offense and just to this team in general. You need Boston Scotts for sure, because those are the dudes, the glue guys, like Prime said, that just play with all the heart. But like, you need the Kenneth Gainwells too, because you need the skill guys that can make advantages out of linebackers and safeties and other players. But yeah, man, I'm excited to see what Gainwell does this year.
Do I have to do tiebreaker or just?
Your honest you answer. Said, that's okay, all.
I'm just thinking out loud, guys. I'm just thinking out loud. Because my heart says Boston Scott, because I feel like he keeps getting doubted, but at the end of the day, he's been reliable. Yeah, been very steady. I feel like the competition now is for Gainwell to overtake that RB2 position and be more consistent on the inside. I think down by the goal line, I mean, Kenneth Gainwell down by the goal line has also been, he's been solid as well. I love the three-headed monster approach. Yep. You know what I mean? I'm all for getting another running back. I'm always about getting a middle round running back every year until you have a solid group. I mean, these days are paying for a running back. These guys break down very easily.
What about trading for a proven talent like Kyle O'Brien's suggesting?
You know,
that the year we won the Super Bowl. Keep that.
You have to break the bag to keep them, though. So it depends on what you're giving up, right? Because like Kareem Hunt is going to want to get signed like a top 5 running back, and that top 5 running back money is one man.
Right, bro. But LeGarrette wanted the same thing too. You know what I mean? Yo, just get whatever you can get out of them and then keep moving.
Was he getting paid like $6 million? Kareem, how much is Kareem making? So you're going to definitely have to make room for that. And I feel like in theory, it'd be amazing with our running attack. I'd be like that kind of move right there would be like, bro, that's
$6 million.
Yeah, $6 million.
Yeah. So like, we're like 30th in cap space, so I feel like it's a move that believe it or not, having Dillard as a backup.
Yeah.
I'm worried about that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, if it's like a pick, right? Like if we could give up a mid-round pick for Kareem Hunt, I'd do that all day and twice on a Sunday. And then like what Prom said, you know, get a year out of him. If negotiations break down, let him walk. But if it means giving up like a quality player to get him in return, losing depth along the offensive line for a running back is just doesn't make sense.
I agree with that.
So talking about Boston Scott, since he's our RB2, like it's 3-1, so we will talk about Boston Scott first. I think Boston Scott as a player, he's, you know, you look at, I call him the human care bear. That role used to go to Darren Sproles, but do you think you're going to find another 5-6 running back who's dynamic as a,
I'll tell you what, after Sproles and Scott, I guarantee the Eagles are going to try.
Humphrey, and that went flat. Didn't work out.
That was a disaster. That was
he got the NFL logo tattoo, though. That's what's important.
Yeah. I feel like Boston Scott, he's been a guy who's been reliable. He's been consistent. He's a guy who keeps showing up. We talk about the giant killer. We talk about, bringing in Kenny Gainwell to take his position last year, still showed up. So I feel like he's the guy that you can rely on. And when it gets cold out there, he's still ticking at the end of the season. But how you guys feeling about Boston Scott?
What do you mean, like for this year?
Yeah.
I mean, I have high hopes that he's going to continue to perform. It's one of those things that, like, I don't think that Boston Scott has a tremendously high ceiling, but I think he has a very, very good floor. I think that you're not going to be blown away by what Boston Scott does, but you can rely on him when you need to. So that in itself is very important. He's not going to be he's not cut out to be a running back one in this league, but that's not a diss on him. That's just, you know, he's a very solid role player in this league.
Yeah. So, I mean, the comparison to Darren Sproles was just like key right there. Just being compared to one of the greatest to ever do it, that's big. So, I mean, Boston Scott, he fits well, you know, with our scheme, and he shows that every week. Route running is great. You know what I mean? He's reliable on with the receptions. He's reliable on the run. He's reliable on staying healthy for damn sure.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So, when the plays are for him to go ahead and take, yo, when I tell you he takes them, man, and, you know, It's a break. Like, he could easily break one, and when he breaks one, I'm ready to see the robot come out of that dude. Like, yo, I'm excited. So, like I said, when I tell you, you know, I've gained so much respect with him throughout the years. It's like Evan had mentioned earlier, you know, Boston Scott and Greg Ward were those two that, you know, I mean, you clinged on to, but with Boston Scott, it was like more, you know, I got more love towards him because, yo, this dude, the hunger he brings every single week. It's just like ecstatic, man. So, you know, I love the fact that, you know, I mean, he's still on the squad and, you know, he's here to keep on, you know, moving forward in the league.
Yeah, Boston Scott's hard to kill, bro. You know, like you said, Kenneth Gainwell came in. He was supposed to knock Boston Scott off for that RB2 position. Scott is still here. He's still under contract. He's probably going to play the entire season as an Eagle. I like Boston Scott a lot. I don't know. I like the diminutive running backs. I like the dudes that everybody sleeps on, you know, that don't have the size or perceived skill necessarily to be standouts in the NFL that continue to prove people wrong. I'm all about underdog stories. And Boston Scott is arguably right now one of the biggest underdogs, definitely on the Eagles, but maybe across the entire NFL in a running back position. So, me choosing Gainwell wasn't a knock on him. I believe wholeheartedly in Scott's ability to be that glue guy. He's going to do whatever they ask, right? He's like the Zach Pascal. That's why you bring dudes like him in. Greg Ward, they're going to do whatever. If you ask them to cover kicks and punts, if you ask them to go get water, to pick up trash, to run for 100 yards, they're going to do whatever you ask of them. And, like, you need team players like that. They're worth their weight in gold. Thankfully, he don't weigh a lot, so you don't got to use a lot of gold for him. But, you know, I love Boston Scott, man. I think that he'll eventually, as the season progresses, take more and more of a backseat to Gainwell. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back as an Eagle again if we move on from Miles Sanders. And then they find, like you said, that middle round big back that could take on some of that between the tackles work.
We got Birdman here. He's kind of spitting a little venom. Talking about Scott choked against the Giants last year. I mean, he did fumble, but he rarely does put the ball on the ground. And then follows up with the running back room is very basic. Like, how is this group basic? I feel like this is very in totality, this whole group.
17 games, and he's just quick to go ahead and point out two of them, man. Like, come on. Like, I get it, but, you know, I mean, Boston Scott, the man's, you know, he does the robot imitation, but he's a machine. Like, he's stacked, bro. So you can't hold those two games against him. Like, yeah, he's not going to, like, all right, so because he didn't repeat the same thing the next year, you can't just go ahead and close the door on him.
Let me ask you guys this question, because, like, listen, I don't think that this running back room is basic, but I don't think that Birdman's criticism, like, do you guys expect the same success in rushing that we had last year? I mean, absolutely. we kind of killed it. Like, I don't really expect those same types of numbers. Yeah. And even with saying that, that's with Miles Sanders' zero touchdowns that we had an exceptional year. So I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I think that we may be kind of thinking that this running back room is a little bit better than we.
I feel like the offense, the way it was set up, it was going through a period of, like, you know, training wheels, trying to figure out what this offense was, what Hurts was.
Yeah.
So when the whole league defensively kind of is kind of gearing up towards this is what kind of offense you're going to run, and we're expecting what, you know, the running game to be a big part of it. Now add A.J. Brown to the mix. Now add Devontae Smith in the second year. Now add Quez Watkins pushing back safeties. Like, let's Dallas Goedert in the seams. Now it's getting a little crazy. Now think about that. I mean, so, you know, our offense could be a little bit more high powered, and we could see a little bit.
Ultimately, if we're a more well balanced team next year, we're going to be better across the board. I think that the reason that we had a lot of struggles early in the season is because we were very one-dimensional. We were trying to force the passing game when we really weren't that good in the passing game at all. And once we were able to find our strength in rushing, we were able to find some success. But ultimately, like you said, Gail, once we brought in A.J. Brown, we got second-year Devontae Smith. We got better as an offense. And I think that we also got more well-balanced. And I think that that can, you know, result in a lot more touchdowns.
Yeah, stack a box with these guys, AJ and Devontae. Keep doing that. Good
point. I mean, Quez, right? Like, Goddard, split them out into the seam. The offense will be different. I think that in the end of the day, I hope they don't get too far away from the running game, right? That, like, running the football well is still a key part of ball control and good football. Think that we get caught up in these like high power passing teams and think that that's the only way to win football. Football still goes through defense. Football still goes through toughness, and toughness is that your offensive line beating the brakes off folks throughout an entire game. And I don't want to see us, you know, wasting the opportunity, especially on that left side of the line, to just run behind Mailata and Dickerson, man, and just watch them horse people all game. I as a person that watches film, I love watching offensive linemen. That's arguably my favorite position to watch. And so, you know, I'm really hoping that they don't get too far away from the running game. But yeah, more balance is imperative, man. And you have the skill players to do it.
Now you talk about skill players as we move right along. Kenny Gainwell. Before we get to Kenny Gainwell, Sanders over under 6 TDs this year.
Considering this doesn't say rushing TDs, I'll go over.
I'm going under.
Okay. Prime, what you got?
I got over 6 rushing TDs.
Okay. Ooh, y'all boys, I'm feeling prime on that. I think you're going to see some different juice this year.
We put money on this? What's up?
It's going to be retaliation.
What you want to put? Remember, you got a kid
bears on this.
You got a kid on the way.
That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna trick my baby money that you're gonna be paying for this credit for this credit for this credit.
What I'm saying
boy.
Is, I'm not trying to take away from you, kid. I make a deal with you. You can hand me the money, but then I'll give it right back to the little one.
I don't like that deal, bro.
Should I try and find some saxophone for this one,
Kenny G? Yeah, you gotta play. Yeah, you gotta play a Kenny G song, man.
Oh, that's gonna get Pole Podcast taken down.
This is brought to you by StreamYard.
All right, stop right there. You're only about 2 seconds. Beat Shazam,
Kenny G. I mean, dude, the one thing that is my and it's not even a gripe that I have with Kenny G. It's the fact that we just went away from using them at the end of the year. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at all the game logs for last year, and starting at November 7th, we played the LA Chargers. He had 2 rushing attempts. Following week, he had 2 rushing attempts. He didn't do much with either of those attempts, but then he was inactive the following week, followed by just, aside from the New York Jets game, he didn't get used for 3 weeks and he was active. And that was one part where I felt like Kenny G, he started to find success midway through the year. And then we just ultimately drifted away from him. And that was something from the coaching staff. I couldn't really wrap my head around.
Yeah. You bring a good point there. Cause I mean, it's the truth. Like, you know, just the amount of stats, I mean, the amount of attempts that you just mentioned right there, that was just based off of 3 games. Mm. And then, I mean, at the end of the day, he has 68 during the year. So they finally found a way to go ahead and fit him into the scheme. And I think that's what they need to stick to this year. I mean, we talk about keeping the team balanced. I really feel that if we stay balanced, I agree with both, all of y'all. We stay balanced, we're going to be a serious threat.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
In this league. Let me break it down to you this way, Prime, because you just said he had 68 attempts. There was three games. He had a 13, 12, and 12. So that's roughly half the attempts he had all year came in a matter of three games, which probably somebody was absent for. One of the games being the last game of the year when it was just, you know, a throwaway game versus
Dallas. Right.
So, like, majority of Kenny Gainwell's use this year was either in garbage time or was just, you know, in a matter of another two games. And that's the part that is confusing to me.
Well, I got a stat for y'all. So of his 101 touches, 33 of those went for first downs. So roughly a third of his touches were first downs.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the kind of stuff that I lock into just because it shows, like, productivity, ability to move the chains, especially somebody in, like, his body type, which is more probably closely aligned to, like, a slot wide receiver than it is a more traditional NFL running back. But for me, I think that, like, again, as the season wears on, I can see the offense shifting away from Boston Scott and giving a lot more of those touches to Gainwell, especially if he can continue to do well in pass protection. But he's, to me, is like the X factor. He's the ultimate weapon for this offense because you get him out in the flats against a linebacker, he's cooking, right? Like, you split him out into the slot versus even some slot receivers, I believe his two-way release is good enough to win. And so I'm excited to see what he could bring to this team. Really, I'm just curious what the offensive staff believes he can do, because to your point, Ev, like, half his carries and touches came in three games, and then 14 other games he was just missing in action. We have to absolutely, absolutely leverage him better. And even if it's just as a distraction, right? Like, we split him out and then we go the opposite direction, but, like, leverage the fact that, like, he's productive. We can't just mothball that dude. He's way too good for that.
Of course.
I think I was talking and my mic went out. Someone called me on my phone, so I might have just disappeared. But talking about Kenny Gainwell, I feel like Kenny G was a guy that I was excited that we got him where we got him. You know, like, the fact that we got him in, what, the fifth round?
Yeah.
And the production that he gave us. I mean, talk about even the opening game in Atlanta, him scoring a touchdown, being a fifth rounder, getting thrown in the middle of a game and being – wildly productive. That was amazing. I mean, for him to outscore Miles Sanders for the season, that was kind of crazy. Didn't expect that, but we did expect to see that flash as a receiving back. He showed us that. We're just hoping that, you know, between the tackles, he becomes a little bit more consistent, and I believe he can get there. I mean, he's got good size. He's 5'9", 200. But, you know, he seems built. He's not like a slender dude, but he's
what was Boston? What was Boston? He was 5'6",
203.
Yeah. You hack 3 inches off of that, he's built like a brick shithouse, bro.
Oh yeah,
Boston Scott is built for it, son. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
That's some good size.
That's why he's able to do what he could do, bro. He's a freaking cannonball. Like, he's just out there just making it happen. But yeah, again, I'm excited about Gainwell, man. When pressed into action, we saw what he was capable of, but also being young, he missed a year because of COVID, right? And so this is sort of like his year. Last year was like what should have been his last year in college football. This year will now be his opportunity, full training camp, second year in the system. My expectations personally are really high for Kenny Gainwell. We'll see how realistic that is. But in the end of the day, man, I think that he'll be the reason why we feel comfortable moving away from Miles Sanders by the end of the season.
Interesting.
Mm. Very.
He said that very matter of fact.
Pete's asking important questions out here.
Yeah, bro.
Are you checking that out? You just
disappeared.
Pete, I'll hit you in
your DMs. About your soul background.
I'll hit you in your DMs, my guy. And get that set up for you.
Mark asking about the merch too, man. Where the merch at? Yeah.
You see, you're trying to link, you're trying, bro. Gail's trying to make it private. The people want what the people want.
The people want it, man.
I've been trying to tell you, bro.
We're gonna get you what you want. Now moving right along, you talk about that size. You talk about, you know, we made mention of Jordan Howard, Kennedy Brooks from Oklahoma. You know, yes, some people thought he was going to be a day three selection. Ended up going undrafted. You talk about a guy who, if you look at his stats, was very reliable for the Sooners. You talk about as a freshman putting up 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. You know, as a sophomore, 1,011 yards. Last season, he had 1,253 yards, 13 touchdowns. Is he a reliable threat in space as a pass catcher? You know, it's yet to be seen, but I feel like he's a guy, you know, as a zone runner in a nickel and dimer that we talked about, he's a guy that could make a role on this football team doing that.
Can you guys just explain to me as draft gurus? So I'm looking at his stats and I'm just like 1,253 yards, 13 touchdowns in a big program like Oklahoma. How is that not worthy of getting drafted?
Because running backs are as devalued of a position that exists in the NFL. And so there was a glut of just really good running backs this year because of that COVID waiver. So there were just a ton of productive running backs. And I think that he just got squeezed out in the margins. I'm going to let y'all go, but I like Kennedy Brooks. I think that he'll be a productive football player in the NFL. We'll see if it's for the Eagles or not, but I think he'll be able to squeeze out a career for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the small sample size that, like, you know, just watching college highlights and everything I've seen since the draft, since we've got him, I like everything that I see. I also love the look, too. I
mean, boy, glasses crooked. That's right. Yeah, you know you're hitting, bro.
No, but, like, he seems to have all of the skills that we're looking for here. I think, and obviously he's able to reach the end zone. I mean, he was almost double digits in every single one of his years that he played. But, you know, it's one of those things where he has to work his way up the depth chart. He's got a bunch of boys in front of him right now, a bunch of guys that have already proven it at the NFL level, and him going as an undrafted free agent, that kind of hurts his stock. So he has to get out there and prove, you know, that he's meant to be there.
Yeah, I mean, for the little bit that I've been following on the dude, it's beside me on, again, like what Evan mentioned, how do you not get drafted with those type of stats, and especially coming from the program that you did? But it just goes to also question, like, what the hell went wrong with running backs in the NFL, period? Like, where did they start losing interest in these guys?
Injuries,
like,
bro. Injuries,
it's crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think the guy should have definitely, you know, got drafted somewhere. Surprisingly, he didn't. I mean, I remember when you guys were easily talking about it, day three, day four possibility, and look, nothing. So it's like, and then there were guys that got drafted, and you're like, why? Like,
yeah.
I know he had an off-field issue that was later cleared up, but it was definitely
with the glasses on or with the glasses off.
I don't know. It was,
that might be why they're crooked, bro.
It was with a female, and it was a situation where people were like, okay. So I mean, but it was cleared and everything was fine, and then he sat out the COVID year as well. So I mean, for me.
You know, I don't get into the devaluing running backs. I feel like running back is an important integral position in the NFL, right? Like, you see teams, you could use a running back by committee, but they still have a running back that's out there and playing. You know, PFF gave Kennedy Brooks a 93.3 grade since 2018, which was second among all Big 12 running backs, most likely behind Breece Hall, who got drafted. So, you know, when you watch his tape, what I love is running backs, one cut go. I don't like dancing. I don't like the prancing around. Running back is a tough, hard-nosed position. You put your foot in the ground, you get downhill, you eat what you can eat. And Kennedy Brooks will 1,000% do that, right? Like, he's a one cut go kind of person. He'll get between tackles. He'll make some things happen. He doesn't have wheels, right? Like, he's not a 4-3 guy, so he's not going to blow into the secondary and run by people. But if you're talking about that 3 yards falling forward to keep the chains moving kind of guy, I think Kennedy Brooks can potentially dig himself out a role for the Eagles, definitely an uphill climb as an undrafted rookie. Wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on the practice squad, you know, taxi squad. Also wouldn't be surprised if he ends up protected, right? Like one of those people elected to be protected every week. I think that he could absolutely fill a role for the Eagles. I can't wait to see what he does in training camp, right? That, like, you know, when the lights come on, that's really what proves it, is when the lights come on and they out there getting it in with the full pads on, you know, that's who you see are the real football players. And Kennedy Brooks has proven in the Big 12 to be a real football player. So I don't see why he wouldn't be able to at least take advantage of an opportunity if one should make itself available.
If I can be real with you guys, I think Feast with Pete hit the nail on the head, man. He talks about comparing Kennedy Brooks to Raheem Mostert and how I'm thinking back to that 2015 season. I remember Raheem Mostert tore it up in the preseason, and that we also had a running back by committee and a lot of, we had a full stable. I believe that was around the same year that Corey Clement was coming into the league. And it was like, both of them were kind of popping off in preseason. And we kind of were like, we're not used to having all of these running backs perform as well as they did. We had to make a decision. We ended up canning Raheem Mostert. And then obviously he goes on to San Francisco, does really well. And now I'm looking at us now and I'm like, we got a lot of running backs that we like on this roster. And I'm thinking, are we going to end up seeing the same sort of story play out for Kennedy Brooks, where he just ends up not making the team based off of numbers? And there was too many guys ahead of him, but he still has a successful career somewhere else.
I wouldn't be surprised. I hope it's with us, but I wouldn't be surprised if Kennedy Brooks ends up a 5-6 year pro in the NFL.
Or building airplanes. He looks like a mechanic. Like, do it with his hands.
He looks like he just created the newest engine for Boeing.
Yeah, like I built the engine with a bunch of scraps. Like, he looks smart in this photo. Maybe it's just the glasses. Maybe I should get some glasses. But the last but not least, I'm not gonna say he's forgotten, but I feel like he's a guy who's been trying to make his way a role on this roster. Like, you know, he flashed as a kick returner. He's a guy that we got from the Lions. And, you know, Jason Huntley coming in. We got a lot of guys on the squad at 5'9", 193.
They have pounds. A type.
24 years old. This is, he's had 3 years of experience. I feel like he's a guy, again, if you're looking at his ability on kick returns, you know, we talk about the special teams position. You got, you know, we had Rager returning kicks. We had Gainwell returning some kicks. You know, you got guys out there. You got what's his name? From Utah, the wide receiver.
Kobe.
Kobe. Yeah. Guys that could use on special teams. So that's a role. Like, I think Huntley is a guy who's trying to lock down that position. But I think he'll have some competition. What do you guys feel about Jason?
Yeah, I kind of 100% agree with you. I mean, just looking at how full, like I was just saying, with being scared about losing Kennedy Brooks, I think that Jason Huntley is just another man that's further down the totem pole. And I love his speed. I mean, 4.37, that's explosive NFL speed. But as a full package, I'm not sure if he has enough to get above any of these other guys on the depth chart. And I agree with what you're saying, is I think that his biggest contribution can come from special teams and returning, but he also has to earn that position as well. Like you said, Britton Covey, he's been tearing it up in OTAs, and it's OTAs. It's still very early, but he's making some huge flashes. He's turning heads. And if the coaches really like him, they're going to continue, you know, watching Britton Covey out there. And I really think that as a return man, as Jason Huntley's really only shot to make the squad.
Yeah, so, you know how I feel about Rager even returning punts. So I'm definitely all about Huntley taking over that position. I would push for it. I'll stand outside of the NovaCare with a sign saying start Huntley over Rager any day. But, I mean, look, it's all about the competition. He's got some obstacles in front of him. I mean, the depth chart is serious. So he's got, you know, a serious ladder to climb there. It all depends on how much he comes into, you know, into the season with that adrenaline. I mean, OTAs, he's been catching some spotlights and everything, but, you know, that's OTAs. You know, if he could go ahead and carry that attitude and that momentum all the way through, that he has a chance, you know what I mean? And I'm definitely rooting for him. You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, same, man.
Bob from Down Under talking about little guys not bringing the thunder. No thump. Bye.
It's true. In regards to Huntley, I mean, I think that one thing that is working in his favor is the fact that he can play special teams, right? And so when you're talking about like these depth positions, in order to make the team as a fifth wide receiver, as a fourth running back, like you're playing special teams and like you're a special teams contributor. Mm-hmm. And so we already know that like Huntley can contribute in at least the return phase of it. I don't know what like his kick coverage ability is. I'm not too sure about that part, but we do know that he can return. He has speed to burn, right? Like the NFL is definitely about space and pace. And so if you could get a fast dude in space and make some plays happen, why not? I think that he has a higher hill to climb, in my opinion, than Kennedy Brooks does, because like I can project what Brooks's role would be within an RB running back committee situation. I don't know what Huntley does better than a Gainwell or better than a Boston Scott that he would then leapfrog them for a role on the team. Like he's just another sort of like diminutive, sort of undersized running back, another one. And I don't know that he's better at anything than Scott or Gainwell. But I listen, man, I'll be rooting for everybody, bro. You know, making the NFL is your dream.
It's a dream.
That's what you're working for, bro. I'm never going to sit and hate on you unless you're Aaron Rodgers because you're an asshole.
But to even make it to the point that they've made it to, bro, is an accomplishment in itself.
It is, man. And Huntley got drafted. You know, yeah. he was productive at New Mexico. Like, he had two really good back-to-back years. So, I don't know if that necessarily correlates into the league, but not going to root against them. Again, when the pads come on, training camp happens, it's about who's playing the best, who dug in over the offseason to be in shape, to come back better, and then who really spent a lot of time with that playbook so that they aren't a liability. and if you show up and you take somebody's job, like that's what this is all about, man.
But it is.
Gail talks about competition all the time. So, you know, it's going to be competitive. I don't know that he'll shake out as a winner in any of those spots, though.
Yeah, I mean, everyone talks about the explosiveness, but at the end of the day, like, it's about, you know, how much you can do at multiple positions.
Yeah.
He's a gunner or any whatever you can bring to the table. I know you mentioned Covey. Like, if you do anything, if you want to see something this week, go check out. We talk about that punt return position. I mean, we'll get into special teams later down the road, but it was a very interesting to watch him talk about punt returning. Mm-hmm. It's almost like an art to him.
Yeah.
And you could tell that he could be a special teams coach. He was involved in the plans at Utah and setting up the return game. So go watch. There's an interview on YouTube where the NFL teams asked him to send 15 plays that described his game, like what made him special or whatever. So he sent like a bunch of plays, and he actually explains why each play is special, and just the way he breaks that down, I'm like, all right, this guy, I could see him doing some juice, showing some juice on punt return. But that will be interesting. I got a question for you guys. Who's going to be the second leading rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Kenny Gainwell.
I want to be a smartass and say Miles Sanders. I'll go Gainwell as well.
I'm not even hesitating with that one.
Boston Scott.
Boo. Nah. Is it really a good chance that it ends up Boston Scott? Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is not a running back, bro.
I'll take some more money.
Nah, no more money for you, bro. Nah, bro. You're gonna spend on Carson Wentz jerseys. I can't support that.
Eric says Jalen Hurts is gonna be his second leading rusher.
So who do you say? We all answered.
I'll go Jalen Hurts this year.
So wait. Are we talking running backs?
Yeah, no,
the position that second, we've been talking second, about for an
second,
hour.
Second leading rusher.
Who's going to be? Oh, yeah, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
that.
He I just killed we the whole thing
about. I thought we were talking about running backs.
I mean, second leading rusher.
To be honest, Ev is probably right. it probably will end up being Miles Sanders.
Like, who's – I could say who's going to be the leading rusher. You could be like Miles Sanders.
I think it'll end up being Jalen Hurts again, to be quite honest.
This is an actual picture from later this year of Jalen Hurts catching up to Miles Sanders in rushing yards.
Listen, if Miles Sanders was as big as either of those dudes in that picture, we'd be having a very different conversation right now, bro. He'd be leading the league in rushing. I will rephrase my answer then. I think it's Miles Sanders will be second. I think Jalen Hurts will end up leading the team in rushing again.
Puga, you can do that. It won't be at the – I don't think it's at the Eagles Pro Shop, but you can definitely buy a A.J. Brown nameplate.
Yeah.
And have it put on.
Gail, do you still have the name of that?
Gail
knows who it is.
At T Will. They're on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But if it's there's a place in Philadelphia on South Street, I believe. I gotta get the name for that. They did a pretty good job. I've been trying to check who did a better job. I don't wanna like but T Will, you could check him out on Twitter. If I can get that for you, I'll send you a DM. Who's asking? Pete?
Puga.
Puga. I will text you, my guy. Any questions in the chat that you guys saw that you guys want to go over?
I can't see comments tonight.
Questions. They had me dying, bro. They was calling. They said Huntley looked like a pastor. Future doctor was for Kennedy Brooks. I was just laughing at a lot of the comments around the running backs.
We talked about this one earlier in the show, Eric. Would you trade Dillard for Hunt? The overall consensus in the room ended up being that we would rather have depth on the O-line trade for Hunt.
I mean, the money-wise, too. Like, I don't know if it makes sense that way. I mean, we're 30th, right? But, again, if Howie wants someone, he could
– Yeah. We know the cap is a figment of our imagination. Yeah,
you can make something happen. Last night we got an opportunity. Mal actually got an opportunity, so did I, to go down. They had a barbecue down at the stadium.
Yeah.
Free food.
Nice.
Shout out to Mel, who set that up.
What was the best thing you had there?
Food Maybe box. The mac and cheese.
This Devontae Smith jersey is the best thing I had, baby.
Hell yeah.
I knew John.
Very nice.
I made sure they gave out gifts, so I made sure that I picked you guys up something.
Oh word.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, always thinking about everyone.
My guy, I appreciate that.
Sure do.
You know. So it was a good time, man. Like Jason Vaughn was out there throwing balls to the kids out there, having a good time. Trey Day showed up. Big dude, man, still big.
Yeah. Hey, shout outs to Allison too, man. She was it was nice meeting her in person. She was dope, and she was the one that put us on, like the raffle tickets, you know what I mean? I wouldn't have known about the free items and gifts she put me on, so I appreciate it. Allison with two L's.
So you copped that jersey last night from a raffle?
Nah, I copped it from the pro store. It was 30% off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got an extra I got two of the coupon drinks for y'all too.
All right, my man. That's what's up.
I copped.
He got the same job.
I got the same. I picked up the Devontae, and then Mal's like, my girl already bought me a Devontae.
Yo, that's not my girl, dog.
Your wife.
You're killing me if I let that slide.
You're
my baby mother, you feel me?
You don't want to get in trouble, man.
why am I going to get – I was like, bro, at this price?
Yeah, you 100. Because I was trying to get the Hurts jersey, but it was like the lesser quality. This is a really good quality jersey. So Gail was right. I had to concede that he was correct. So it was the right choice for sure. So thank you again.
And would never steer you wrong when it comes to
you. You get more used to it as time goes on, Mal.
Not at all. It does, man.
Like him wearing it tonight, I'm like, oh man, I wish I wore mine, but. Yeah, I just nowadays I just buy things and I look at them. It's getting real weird these days. Like I don't even like wear it. I just like to look at it.
Yeah, I was talking about looking. So I bought the car mats too for the truck.
Nice.
Yeah, I liked it. It was nice. Nice little touch for the trap.
My new Eagles bowling bag just came in.
Nice. That's what's up.
You know what?
You got a bowling ball too to match the bag?
And I got a ball to match the bag. Yep.
You know what else you can get too that they're actually relatively cheap? I think they're like 20, 30 bucks, something like that. Those little lights as soon as you open your car door. It will project like an eagle onto the ground. Yeah, I know you got
that's
it.
That's fire.
Yeah, that shit's nice. And the way it turns, it's like connected to a magnet. So you put a magnet on like the base of your car. And then when that magnet's touching, the light turns off. And as soon as it's not, then
I'll turn them on Club John night. All right. Because I got them on the truck.
Oh, man. I told my wife I'm about to repaint the truck Kelly Green. And she just looked at me like I lost my mind. I'm that serious.
I'm trying to look for the name of that place on South Street.
You told me the name yesterday. I don't remember the name of it though.
You got the Nike Limited now.
Yo, probably not. Maybe it got a Nike look. Yeah, look. Hold on. Let me move the mic. Let me show y'all what we're working with over here. Yeah, we got the new Nike John. You feel me? You got the Eagles nice stitching on it. You heard? I would have messed up, bro. I would have bought the most Fugazi jersey yesterday. Gail was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Gail stopped me in my tracks. He's like, yo, come on, brother.
You can't do that. About some little shit. He'll definitely set you straight.
Yeah, he had me, bro.
You know, the regular jerseys now are $129.
What's that?
Regular jerseys are $129 now, right?
Yeah, they boosted it up.
Didn't they used to be $120?
It used to be like...
Fuck.
Damn.
Yo, that reminds me of playing Madden when I used to just hike all the prices up at my stadium and shit. We ain't win no championships, but I had the highest prices.
$700 jersey.
Nah,
I did that on
NFL 2K on Dreamcast.
Yo, I stay hiking my prices up, bro. I ain't playing with y'all.
Yeah. Before I know we didn't get your guys' thoughts on the new lettering on the Malin Prime.
Twitter went stupid behind that, bro.
Yeah, man.
You like it or no?
I know we were going back and forth on the DMs about this, but you know, I was never really a fan of the Eagle logo facing the one way. I'm glad they moved. They decided to keep that.
Why did that bother you? Like I don't know, man. I was like, why did you care?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. Like as I look at it, because I got one standing in front of me right now. It just bothered me. I can't really give you an answer, but it just bothered me.
I got you.
I mean, and then that's like when people put the magnets or the stickers on their car. Like, I hate when they put it straight. Put the goddamn thing on the curve. Like, make it, you know what I mean? It's supposed to look like the Eagle logo. Don't disrespect this shit like that. Like, I hate it. I literally want to peel the shit off of somebody's car and fix it for them when I be going by.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't really have an answer for it. But now the lettering, I don't know, man. I mean, look, I saw it the other day. I'm not a fan of it. But somebody threw that lettering on the Kelly Green jerseys. Mm. And... fire. I was okay, but then the first thing that came to my mind is it's kind of like a replica of the Jets Falcons right now, and I'm not feeling that.
I got you.
Pete, jersey wise, like I don't know if you're looking for used jerseys, but if you like in Philly area, you can go to Plato's and you can find jerseys.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what it is. Jimmy just answered my question. I'm OCD.
OCD, no joke. Yeah, I'm not as passionate about this as Prime, so I'll start off by saying that. It is what it is, man. When I saw the logo, it didn't hit me one way or the other. You know what I mean? It wasn't some like emotional response. I'm not a huge fan of it. I think it looks very basic. And yeah, I don't know. But we'll see how they apply it and do the things with it. And you know, I'll reserve my judgment until I see it officially on a jersey. And yeah. But it didn't do anything for me. I didn't know that it was necessarily a move that had to be made, right? Was this something that had to happen? Probably not. Todd, I feel you, bro. That's my initial response is that shit is corny. But then I was like, you know what? They get paid way more money than me for marketing, and I don't know the first thing about any of that. So I will defer to the experts and we'll still buy all of this shit that they put it on anyway. So it's not like, you know, we're going to now stop buying Eagles merch.
I was kind of excited for all of the old logo stuff to get put on sale. I mean, they got to make Gotta
you
make
see that sale put me on, bro.
I'm just saying, you gotta make moves for the newer stuff.
I'm gonna be one to take advantage of that because that's my logo. Like, I love that logo, so
absolutely.
Yeah.
But then if you have a tattoo with the old watermark wording mark, you're like, are you gonna get a new version of it?
Take it easy, pal. I got a 4th and John tattoo with the old logo.
When I do get my Eagle tattoo, I'm getting an old logo. I'm not getting that new.
I just got the head logo. I don't do the wording.
I'm gonna just get the same, like Prom said, like your hat basically. I'm not doing the whole thing.
Eric, if you want a 4th and John hat, DM me and I'll set you up where you can get one. Because we made them for an event.
Exclusive.
So
they cost $100.
We sell them at Mal's Madden Stadium.
I had the link jumping, son. $80 for a freaking t-shirt, and they was copping me, bro. I was maxing the prices out on them cheese sticks. You better buy that shit.
Yeah, I was trying to make a custom. I'm working on a custom jacket. So
I
sent y'all a picture of them.
Yeah,
it got to a point where I was at so many Foot Lockers where I was looking at these jackets, and they cut me off. They said I couldn't buy anymore.
What?
I was like, bro, like I just bought five of them. They're like, well, you can't,
we don't want any more of your money.
You're good for the day. Like, you can buy it. I was like, you bought like five in the last 2 days. I'm like, I was like, what is this business? Like, I'm trying to buy
it, bro. Right.
But we're working on that.
Yeah. Nice. The jackets look dope, man.
Yeah, they do look dope.
I've never had a varsity jacket. I'm excited.
Yeah. Actually, same.
We'll see. This whole custom is a vibe anyway. But before we get out of here, any last words? We'll start with you, Mal.
Yeah, man, it's always the same thing. Just excited to spend this time with you all. Excited to tap in with the folks that come on and comment. And I love y'all. I love this community. Just excited for Eagles football. The running back group, I think, will be really strong. I forget who said that it was like ordinary or plain, not exciting.
Oh,
I don't necessarily. Yeah, basic. That's the right word that was used. I don't agree with that. I think that they're Kenneth Gainwell as a level of explosiveness. Miles Sanders, when he's playing his game, as a level of explosiveness, Boston Scott as a level of consistency, and Kennedy Brooks is a question mark that could really evolve into almost anything. So excited to see where this all ends. I still think Jalen Hurts leads the Eagles in rushing. And I just pray that he doesn't get hurt and, you know, can make it a full 17 game slate and 17-0 standing on business. Ain't nothing changed. Super Bowl. My dad told me I was out of my mind, but you know, that's just to be expected when you're the only person standing on top of the hill screaming. They're going to think you crazy till it happens. So 17-0.
Brian.
Hey, man, I mean, pretty much the pity pack off of that. Like, today's episode was good. It was a good topic to talk about the running backs. So I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing what these are going to go ahead and do. You know, I mean, I'm all in for Miles, you know, to have a great year. He's definitely got a lot to prove to me. To Evan, especially Evan. So, you know, I mean, it's exciting. You know, other than I definitely ain't about closing any of the doors on any of these guys. I think they all have potential to, you know, play big and do big things for the organization. So I'm excited. Besides that, you know what I mean? I appreciate you guys tuning in as always. You know what I mean? Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you guys have pretty much hit the nail on the head and this whole conversation about the running backs today. We're Eagles fans, but I got to talk about another a different bird team, bro. My heart and my condolences goes out to Ravens Nation, bro. They've been having a rough couple of days. Jalen Ferguson, Tony Siragusa, both passing away over the past 24 hours. I just want to offer, you know, my condolences to the entire Baltimore Ravens fan base.
Crazy, man.
You know, I thought about that. Like, you know, you think about two Eagle players passing away on the same day. Like, you know, you just like put yourself in that fan base's shoes and you're just like, man, that's kind of, you know, and not only just a Ravens player, but a big personality. You talk about sideline guys where players became a part of, like, you know, game day crews. Like, he was a guy who became
Goose,
that.
Bro, I grew up watching them.
Tony Siragusa played a huge role in that Super Bowl win with Ray Lewis and them boys. Mm-hmm. Like he was the dude doing all the dirty work at nose tackle, so that those running backs, Peter Bowyer, you know what I mean, Ray Lewis, like those guys have free runs to the running back. So yeah, man, I was Jalen Ferguson. Was he 26 when he passed away? Like,
yeah,
you know, 25. More than anything, always remember that. Like, love on your family, love on the people that you care about. Always mind your mental health, sure. Because you never know when that call comes in, you gonna answer. So, love on y'all people, man. But yeah, sure. That's why I always tell y'all I love y'all when I get a chance.
Cause likewise, you know,
life is too short to not tell the people you care about that you love them.
Yeah, man, for sure. 2020, if you DM me on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube, I can give it to you. Following you guys, like you pretty much said everything I was thinking about. But I just think, you know, we looked at the running back position. Obviously, season's right around the corner. Yeah. If you haven't seen the quarterback position breakdown, we did that already. I think we should move right along to wide receiver. I think that's a spicy position. I think that's I think there's going to be a lot of differences of opinions on the back.
That's a kind way of putting it.
Well, right. I think the 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah,
like I think
John Hightower is going to be the number one wide receiver on the team this year.
The spicy talk.
The 4, 5, and 6, man. Like that's really where that battle is, and I think it's going to be interesting to see. Like I guess we could say, well, I think they're going to keep 6, if I'm being honest.
One of them going to be Britton Covey?
It depends on who the return man is.
I mean, there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to unpack.
Save it for the next show.
Yeah. So I think if you guys are ready for that, we'll probably be doing that next Tuesday if all works out. Yeah, other than that, if you want a 4th and John hat, DM me, and I will try to get that done for you and have them made. You just let me know your size, and I will go out and oblige. But for me and the dudes, we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.